How y'all doing tonight? Good. Well, you can tell we got a little something different going on here tonight, right? Well, tonight I want to talk to you about something a little bit different. I had this awesome message prepared already. It was a very Pastor Hagen type message, and it was going to be amazing. However, on Sunday morning when I was sitting in church, the Lord just started speaking to me about some things that he wanted me to talk to y'all tonight. So, you know, over the past few weeks, I've been preparing for back to school, you know, school clothes shopping and getting school supplies and summer reading assignments because I'm a parent. And you know, coming up here on August 19th, we're going to have back to school Sunday, and we're going to have all the kids and the youth in here, and Pastor Hagen is going to have an awesome message just to inspire them for the upcoming school year. But the Lord started dealing with me about us parents. What about us parents? How can we get ready to have a great school year? Because when your kids go back to school, you do too, right? How many of you parents out there, right? The homework assignments, you know, the late nights, the activities, the school dances, you know, whatever, the football games. And so tonight I'm going to talk about ways that as parents that we can prepare to have a good school year too. Now, I realize some of you out there are not parents, you don't have children yet, maybe you're single or maybe you're newly married, but you know what, just take a few notes and save it for a later time. For those of you who are like, I am never having children ever, that's okay because maybe you know somebody that does and you can take really good notes and you can just pass it on to them and be a blessing to them, right? Or if you're a grandparent out there, maybe you can share some of this information with your own kids, adult children. So here's what I want to talk about tonight, all right? Now, I've got some marbles here in jars. So each one of these marbles represents 1 week, all right? So what this is a representation of from a time, this one right here, ooh, it's heavy. From a time a child is born until they graduate high school, that is what these marbles represent. So this is the day that your child is born, all right? The day that your child is born, you have 936 weeks until they graduate high school. 936. This is a lot of marbles. And yes, there are exactly 936 marbles in here. They were counted. Not by me, thankfully, but by some great people. So, but you have 936 weeks, the day that your child is born, to influence them and to be with them. That's a lot of time, right? But you know, it goes down really quickly. Right here, by the time that your child gets to be in first grade, you only have 624 weeks until they graduate high school. And if you look at the comparison here, you know, from the time they're born till first grade, I mean, that's a lot of marbles. A lot of weeks have gone by, and they're only in first grade. When they get to sixth grade, you have 364 weeks left. Sixth grade. Anybody have a sixth grader in here? We have. So this is how much time you had the day they were born, and now look, you've only got this many more weeks. Does that make anybody sad? Sometimes, right? Depending on how they're acting at the moment. All right. Now look at this, okay? These next two are representative of where I am because I have a ninth grader and I have a senior in high school. So when they start ninth grade, you only have 208 weeks left to influence them. That's not that many. And then sadly, by the time that they get to be in 12th grade, you only have 52 weeks left. 52. So, you know, and it just goes by so quickly, just like that. The reason why I wanted you to see this representation is that the influence that we have over our children goes by so quickly. In just a blink of an eye, when you're so busy and you feel like, when they're two and they're saying no to everything and they're throwing fits in Walmart, you feel like this is never going to end. My job is never going to end. But your influence on them just goes by so quickly each year. Your influence gets smaller and smaller and smaller. So tonight, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that because you have such a short time, each week, each day that you have your child, you want to make sure that you are finding time for teachable moments. Teachable moments. So let's open up to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let me find it here. And we are going to start in verse 18. All right, I'm going to be reading this in the Message Bible. So now, this is Moses, and he's talking to the Israelites. And he's basically, like previously in this chapter and the previous chapter, he's talking about, okay, you got to put into practice the commands that God gave us. Okay, so this is Moses talking, and this is what he says. He says, place these words on your hearts. Get them deep inside you. Tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Teach them to your children. Teach them to your children. He is instructing parents, you've got to teach all of God's commandments to your children, and you only have that amount of time to do it before they're gone. All right, teach them to your children. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home, walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning until you fall into bed at night. Inscribe them on your doorpost and gates of your city so that you'll live a long time and your children with you on the soil that God promised to give your ancestors. Okay, so what I really believe that Moses is instructing to the Israelites is, hey, parents, have some teachable moments. And then he tells us how, because here's the thing, is that teachable moments just don't happen magically. You have to look for them and search for them and be intentional about them. You have to be intentional about them. And here's the deal, I really think that, the church is part of, Deuteronomy 11. When you bring your kids and your teens to church and we teach them, we're doing the same thing. Because really, we're partnering with you. It takes you and it takes the church, us here, to partner together. And that's what makes everything so dynamic. But here's the deal. I think that, and I'm not talking about you specifically, I'm talking about parents as a whole. Okay, let me preface this. I think that parents and the church are failing miserably at Deuteronomy 11, 18. Do you want to know why I know that? This is why I know that. Did you know that the statistic is out there? Okay, lots of research. 65% of high school seniors who have grown up in the church, when they graduate, will leave the faith. Not just leave church, leave God. 65%. That's the statistic today. 65%. That's sad. That tells me that the church is not doing our job, and us as parents, we're not doing a good job either. That's alarming to me. And so we need each other. This is, I'm the family ministry's pastor, so this is, what I do for a living. It's what I think about all the time, nonstop. And so, I get this awesome opportunity to work with kids of all ages. And, I talk to them a lot. And the thing is that, but I'm also a parent. And so I realize from the parent perspective, how difficult it can be in this world today and the challenges that kids and teens face, how it can be challenging to find the time to do the Deuteronomy 11. Okay, so I'm coming at it from both perspectives, and we need each other. Parents, the church needs you to do your job, and I know that parents, you need us as the church to do our job. So I really believe that it's within these teachable moments, if we look for them, if we search for them, if we look for them in the morning and while we're eating and, you know, before we go to bed at night, that we will make a difference. And this statistic of 65% of kids who grow up in the church will leave the faith once they graduate, I believe that statistic will go down. Amen? So teachable moments, you say, well, I don't even know what you're talking about, Denise. Like teachable moments, like that sounds kind of weird. Okay, let me tell you what a teachable moment is, all right? Just the other day, driving in the car with my younger son, okay? He just turned 14 yesterday. And so, hey, Deuteronomy says, you know, when you're, well, it says like when you're walking, but you know, let's, you know, driving, you know, who really walks anymore? Okay. So, you know, and I'm like, ooh, I gotta be looking for a teachable moment. All right. So my younger son, he's super inquisitive and curious. And he says, hey mom, he really likes golf. He says, do you think they're going to have golf in heaven? All right, that's cute, right? He's pretty cute. Okay, but immediately, instead of just stopping in the cute and saying, oh yeah, I'm sure they will, Wes, I was like, oh, ding, 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 teachable moment, book of Revelation, eschatology, I got this, all right? I started thinking about the teachable moment. I said, yeah, Wesley, actually, I do. I think that they're going to have golf in heaven. I said, in fact, you know, it talks about in the book of Revelation, and I started talking about how that there's going to be streets of gold, and there's just going to be this like awesome, you know, marriage, lamb, supper lamb, and there's just going to be like everything that we love and huge mansions. And I talked about what I wanted my mansion to look like. And he's like, well, let's get back to the marriage supper of the lamb. Like, what do you think we're going to be eating? Because he's a teenage boy, he wanted to know, okay? So we were having this great discussion. It was a teachable moment. I mean, how often do you really get to talk about Revelation? Amen. You know? And then you can, you know, talk about, now, hey, we got to make sure that we're going to like make it in that rapture, you know, and there's only one way to make it. Do you see this teachable moment? All right. Now, it could have been just like, oh yeah, there's going to be golf in heaven. Like, that's cute, you know? But no, let's take that and let's make that a teachable moment. That's what Deuteronomy 11 is talking about. I do believe it is. You know, another time I was talking to one of my sons and they said, you know, they said, Mom, I was at my friend's house the other day. I just like got this feeling on the inside that I should just go home and I just shouldn't be there anymore. So I just came home. It was a friend in the neighborhood. And I was like, ding, 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 teachable moment. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, 15, and 16. What does the Holy Spirit, who is he in our life? How does he function? He tells us of things to come. He tells us about the future. He's our helper, comforter, guide, right? All that. I know all that. I'm like, how can I have this teachable moment with him? And so I said, yeah, you know what? That feeling that you hit on the inside, that's the Holy Spirit talking to you. What? That's the Holy Spirit? That's what he sounds like? Yeah, that's what he sounds like. And then we had a whole conversation. Do you see this teachable moment? Okay, this is what Deuteronomy 11 is talking about. All right, this is what it's talking about. And it takes time, and it takes energy, and it takes effort, but it is so, so worth it. Right? Now listen to this. The amount of influence that we have per day over a kid's lifespan, it changes. So not only are we concerned about these weeks up here, all right, but about the hours in the day. So in the infant, you know, when they're like born till, you know, maybe about, you know, preschool, pre-K, a parent has about 12 hours of influence per day. Okay, that's when they're not like, you know, eating or sleeping or, you know, doing stuff like that. So about 12 hours a day. In preschool, parents have 8 hours of influence a day. So when your kid like hits pre-K and they start, you know, going to pre-K, about 8 hours of influence. In elementary school, parents have only 6 hours of influence per day. In middle school, parents usually only have 4 hours of influence per day. And in high school, the average amount of influence a parent will have in their high schooler's day is 2 hours. So we got the weeks and we got the hours. We have to be looking for these teachable moments. Looking. Okay, now why? You say, why? This is so much work. I am so busy. Why do we need to do all this? All right, let's go back to Deuteronomy 11. This time I'm going to read it in the NLT because I like what it says. Okay, So commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these words of mine, tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates so that as long as the sky remains above the earth, why you and your children may flourish. So why do we do all this? Because we want our kids to flourish. As parents, we want good things for our kids. We want our kids to have amazing lives with the Lord. We want our kids to flourish. And so that is why we do this. All right, so we're just going to get super practical tonight, okay? That's why I love Wednesday nights. It's actually like my favorite service of the week because, you know, it's just super practical and it's just those nuggets that you can take and just like insert into your life and use them on a daily basis. So that's what we're going to do. Get super practical and I'm going to tell you ways to have a good school year, ways where you can have teachable moments in your kid's life. All right. So first of all, we need to, as parents, we need to respect the rhythm. Okay. Respect the rhythm. I know, that's weird. Okay, what does that mean? You know what? Learn your child's rhythm, all right? Your child is unique. Your teenager is unique. And as they grow and they develop, their rhythms are going to change. Do you know that biologically, this is a physiological, biological thing, that it is almost impossible for your high schooler to go to sleep before 11 p.m.? I know you're always telling your high schooler, go to bed, you need to get some sleep. You know what? That is almost physically impossible. There's biological changes that happen in them, and it causes them to stay up later and sleep longer. It's really not an excuse. It really is physiological, all right? So, but respect the rhythm of your kids, all right? You know, this sets the whole tone for their whole day. They're unique, let them be unique, all right? I specifically remember growing up, and so, you know, like, my mom is like a late night person, and my dad's a late night person, but not as late night as my mom. And so my dad always took me to school. It was like a rare occasion that my mom took me to school. My dad woke me up and drove me to school. Now listen, my dad, he knew my rhythm, all right? And it made all the difference in the world to me. When he would come wake me up, he didn't turn on the lights. He didn't do anything annoying. He would walk in my room and he'd say, Denise, it's time to get up. A very monotone voice, no emotion in it. I loved it. I was like, all right, Dad. And I wouldn't get up. He'd come back up about 5 minutes later. Same tone. Denise, time to get up for school. Okay, Dad, I'm going to get up. And so then he'd come back up. He was like my snooze. I love him. And so he'd come back up the third time. He's like, okay, you really got to get up now. I'm like, all right, Dad, I'll get up. And I would get up. And it like, it was perfect. All right. Loved it. Now my mother, on the other hand, when my dad would be out of town and my mom would wake me up for school, she did not respect my rhythm. She just like ruined my whole day from the get-go. This is how my mother woke me up. I am not kidding you. She would come into my room. She would flick on the lights. She would go over to my blinds and open them up. It's terrible. And she would say, good morning, good morning, good morning. It's time to rise and shine. Oh. Okay. Like, for real. For real. Right? Teenager. Like, that's not, I'm like, respect the rhythm, Mom. Like, it started my whole day, and I'm not kidding you. I would be in such a bad mood the whole day because my mom did not respect my rhythm, all right? So, maybe that's why that's so important to me. But, you know, it really is. You know, we're all just, you know, humans, and we're all unique. And some of us are morning people, some of us are night people, some of us are really hyper and energetic, some of us are really laid back. And so you need to recognize that in your kid. You know why? Because you need to know when they're going to be receptive to teachable moments. You know, maybe like first thing in the morning, if your kid's not a morning person and you're trying to make a teachable moment while you're driving them to school at 6:45 a.m., yeah, they're probably not going to be receptive. You're probably just wasting your time and your child's time, okay? So, but you know, maybe they're a night person. And so maybe at night before bed is when they're like, you know, wanting to talk. So it's important to respect their rhythm in order to find those teachable moments within their rhythm, all right? Right now, my older son, his teachable moment rhythm is really late at night. And that's problematic for me because I go to bed at 9:30, all right? And so, you know, but you know what? I've had to adjust myself and respect his rhythm, and we've had some amazing teachable moments at midnight. So, you know what? And I tell the Lord, I'm like, now, Lord, I'm over here having this teachable moment, but I gotta, you know, get up at 5:30 a.m., so you're just gonna have to multiply my sleep because I'm Deuteronomy 11-ing it, and so you're gonna have to multiply my sleep. And you know what? He always does. God's cool like that. So anyways, respect your child's rhythm, all right? Number two. Oh, I gotta hurry. Okay, daily devos, okay? Make a time for daily devotions. Now listen, do not get legalistic about this. This is one of my least favorite things is when, you know, ministers try to get all like legalistic about devotions, and then you got to read your Bible for this amount of time, and you got to pray for 45 minutes, and you have to do it in the morning because it's not as good at night, and blah, blah. Forget all that. All right, listen. You know what? Life is busy. There are, you know, sports practices and band practices and choir rehearsals and homework assignments and all kinds of stuff. And so your daily devotional time with your child, it's going to change from season to season. It doesn't have to remain the same. It may even be where your children are going in opposite directions. So you have, you know, devo time with each of your kids separately. That's okay. God understands that. The most important thing is that you are having the teachable moment that you teach your kids that, you know, having a daily devotional life with God, it's not a habit. It's not a check mark off a list. Oh, check, I did that. It's a lifestyle. It's a constant 24-hour a day, 7-day a week lifestyle, all right? Now listen, you may say, I don't know how to start to have a daily devotion with my kid, all right? Super easy, all right? It can be something as simple as just praying together every day. You'd be amazed at how many families don't even pray together for the day. My family with my boys, we always pray before the day. Most of the time it's in the car. And, you know, they're in just such a mindset of, you know, you got to talk to God. You got to pray about your day. You got to list off all the things. Sometimes I've forgotten and they'll say, oh, Mom, you didn't pray. You got to pray about the day. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. We got to pray about the day. That is in their routine. All right. But remember I said that the church and the parents, we work together. All right. We have made it easy for y'all. Okay. So, I mean, this is from when your kids are in the infant classroom, okay, through fifth grade. What we are studying about in church, we give you these little take-home sheets. Now, most of you probably don't recognize them because you probably just throw them in the trash. That's okay. We find lots in the trash here at church, all right? That's okay because you didn't know what was in them. You didn't know that, like, Deuteronomy 11 is, like, all over these, all right? So it's okay. I forgive you. But anyways, these take-home sheets that we give you are reinforcing what we're talking about here in church. And look, it says, in the morning time, do this and say this. Drive time, do this, say this. Cuddle time, this is for the babies, say this. Bath time, do this, say this. All right here for you. Isn't that cool? Y'all might not have known that. And so for babies and for our 2 and 3 year olds, these are once a monthers. We have them in the classrooms, and we have, it says like week 1, week 2, week 3, week 4. Okay, so you just get them once a month. You can put them up on your refrigerator. Okay, it's real simple for you. Pre-K and elementary are once a week. And so it tells you once again, mealtime, do this. This is what we're learning. Gives you the memory verse. And it also has, a lot of times on these, they have awesome articles about parenting and development and things like that. So we make it really easy for you. So don't just throw these away when you get them in your child's classroom, because they can help you Deuteronomy 11. All right. They can help you have those teachable moments. Another thing that we have with our curriculum that we do here at church, it's an app, and it's for Android or iPhone, and it's called Parent Q, Parent C-U-E-Q. Download that on your phone, on your device. It's amazing. You actually type in each of your children, and it will actually alert you, like on a weekly basis, how many marbles you have left. It'll give you ideas of ways to have teachable moments with your kids, all right? So technology, it's cool. It's a wonderful thing. There are tons of books up here. I have too much to say, so I'm not going to go through that. But you can come up here afterwards and look at these and write down some titles. But two that I want to really recommend, there's a couple of books, and they're called Parenting Your, and then it's like infant, one-year-old, first grader, sixth grader. It's every age through senior and high school. And it is by Kristen Ivey and Reggie Joyner. These are amazing books. Like, I can't live without these. I just grabbed my ones for ninth grade and seniors. And this is amazing. These are amazing books, so you might want to get hold of those. Okay, so, but do some type of Devo with your kids. All right, next one, how to have a great school year. Ask open-ended questions, all right? If you want your kids to communicate with you, do not ask questions that they can answer with one word. Like, how was school today? Fine. You know, what'd you do? Nothing. Okay? Because those are the kind of responses you're going to get, all right? Ask open-ended questions and learn the best times to ask your kid. Remember the rhythm thing? Learn the best times. Sometimes it may not be like right when they get in the car after school because they're tired and they're hungry. Maybe, you know, it's a little bit later. Maybe it's dinner time. But ask those open-ended questions. One thing that we, you can ask like, you know, what was your favorite part of the day today? You know, or what's something really fun that happened today that you liked? All right, those are open-ended questions that they can't say fine or nothing. All right. One thing that we do in our home, just an idea, is, and my kids still love it, and when we don't do it, they're like, oh, let's do it. We do something at the dinner table called high-low, okay? And it's a little game, and we're like, oh, let's do our high-low. And so we each go around, and we say our high for the day. What was the best thing that happened? And then we go around and we say our low for the day. What was the thing, you know, our least favorite thing that happened? And in these high lows, we have had so much great discussions and teachable moments, especially in the lows. You know, I mean, I know I could immediately feel it when I said high low, like, oh, don't talk about the bad things that happened during the day. We just want to focus on the positive. Well, you know what? There's a lot we can learn in the negative. There's a, you know, life is tough. Life is hard. And, you know, there's a lot of negative. Jesus even talks about that. He says, in this world you'll have troubles, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So the worst part of your kid's day, you need to take that as a teachable moment to say, okay, yeah, you know what? Man, I'm really sorry that that happened, but, you know, how could we make that better? You know, what does the word say about that? All right, there is value in the lows, okay, and learning how to take those lows and make them into highs next time, all right? All right, next thing, let your kids have a bad day. Do y'all have bad days? I know, super spiritual people, no, I'd never have a bad day. Lies, you do. You do have bad days, but you choose not to let your bad days ruin your whole day, you know? You choose to focus on the Word of God. But to say you don't have a bad day, that's not necessarily true, all right? So let kids have bad days. Sometimes they're going to be cranky. They're going to be grumpy. And when they are, use that as a teachable moment. Say, hey, Sally, you know what? You're having a rough day today. You know, you're crying. You seem a little emotional. You know what? That's okay. What's going on with you? Because, you know, Jesus cares about you. Is there something going on that's making you have a bad day? Let's talk about it. You know, let's see if God can help us with this situation. Do you see how you can let your kid have a bad day and extend a little grace and mercy to them and then take that and turn it into a teachable moment? All right. You don't have to turn here. Hebrews 4:16. What does our Heavenly Father do when we're having a bad day? So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Okay? So if our Heavenly Father can let us have a bad day and extend mercy and grace, we can do the same for our kid. Okay, the biggest one I want to talk about to have those teachable moments. This is especially for middle schoolers and high school parents right now. Respond, don't react. Whatever your teenager tells you, choose to respond instead of reacting. Do you know that's the biggest reason why your teenager won't talk to you? They tell me all the time. I say, hey, you know what? That's something you should probably talk to your mom or dad about. No, they'll freak out. They just always freak out. That's all they ever do. Maybe that's true, okay? That's reacting. Don't react. Trust me. I know. I have teenagers. I work with teenagers. Some of the things that they say are very hard to hear. Very hard to hear. However, they're going to tell somebody. And trust me, parents, you want that to be you. Because whoever they tell is going to be influencing that decision, and you want it to be you. You really do. So sometimes, even though you want to just flip out and freak out and, what are you thinking? What are you doing? I can't believe it. Don't do it. Don't do it. It'll cause them to shut down. Okay? Respond. Teachable moments come from responding. They never come from reacting, not one time. Okay? And the great thing about responding, you don't have to do it right away. When you react, that's a requirement that it happens right away. When you respond, you can choose when to respond. Maybe it's not till the next day when you've had time to pray about it, think about it. Lord, what would you want me to say? What's the teachable moment in this? How can I Deuteronomy 11 this? Okay, respond, don't react. Next thing, I got two more, we're gonna be done. Next thing, sometimes you just gotta be quiet. Okay, you just gotta be quiet and listen. James 1:19, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. It's okay not to constantly be, you know, talking and, oh, did you do this? And, oh, did you remember this? And, oh, don't forget about this. And, oh, okay, well, call me when you get there. And, okay, shut up. All right. You know, I mean, you know, we were all teenagers in here at one time or another. And I can't say this for certainty with everybody, but I know there have been a time or two in my life when I just wanted to look at my parents and say, shut up. Okay, I didn't, but I wanted to, all right? And so sometimes we need to just listen to what they have to say and be okay with the silence. I know one of my sons is just more reserved and quiet, and literally the only time that he will really talk is when we're in the car. But if I start talking or if I turn on music in the car or if I'm, you know, doing all my stuff, he won't talk. And so we get in the car and I just sit there. And I want to say something. I want to ask a question. And I'm like, nope, not going to do it. I'm just going to sit here in this awkward silence. And there have been so many times when I wanted to like say something, but I just like sat there and I just was quiet. And all of a sudden, about 5 minutes later, my son would just start talking, and it was like he was just, it's like he had waited, you know, weeks and was just storing all this up, and he would just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and I would just listen. And it's so precious and it's so valuable. So make sure that you're listening to the Holy Spirit on the inside, because sometimes the Holy Spirit is telling you to shut up. He is. And listen to your kid. All right, yeah, I said shut up in church. Okay, all right. It's okay, it's fine. Look, no lightning bolt struck me, so I'm good, all right? All right, the last thing. Please, we want to partner with you, so please bring your kids to church. Please bring them to church, all right? You know, I have an amazing staff that we dedicate our entire life to ministering to your child. I mean, we pour hours upon hours upon hours upon hours just, okay, praying, seeking the Lord. What are we going to teach? What are we going to do? We need to make this better, okay? It is a great environment. It is a safe environment. They will have specific ministry right for them, right for their development, okay? Please bring them. Do you know what hurts my feelings really bad and what hurts my staff's feelings really bad? And yes, I get super offended whenever you don't bring your kids to class. Oh, they don't do anything in there. They just like play. They don't need to be in there. They need to sit in big church where they're like actually getting teaching. Yes, parents have said that to me. Okay, that's offensive. Okay, actually in May, I just celebrated my 25th year in ministry. So for 25 years, I have been working with children and youth and ministering to them. No, we're not just playing. Okay. See, here's the thing. When kids get in that environment, they need to be in a certain environment in order to hear. And so we do all these things, you know, we do fun things, but then we actually, you know, are teaching. And I know that Jessica White, our elementary director, was just sharing with me a testimony that we were having some praise and worship time, and the anointing was really strong in the elementary area. And she heard on the inside, you need to pray for kids. There's somebody in here, a kid, elementary kid, who's thinking about committing suicide. Okay? Now, she's smart enough to know that you just don't get up and say that, all right? So the Lord gave her the words, you know, to say, you know, hey, I feel like there's somebody in here that, you know, maybe like you want to hurt yourself, or maybe you think, you know, things would be better if you just weren't around, and God wants you to know that that's not true. And is there anybody like that? And there was somebody who came forward and so took them aside and ministered to them just on a one-on-one, you know, there were two teachers on one environment, because that's something that didn't need to happen in a public environment. And do you know that breaks my heart, makes me cry. That little boy said, I thought it would be better if I wasn't alive because my parents are getting divorced. And maybe if I wasn't alive, then things would be better. We're not just playing games. We have God on the inside of us. My staff, my volunteers, they have God on the inside of them. And we want to minister to your kids. Please bring them. You know what, when your teenagers say, oh, I don't want to go, it's boring. Don't believe them. It's not true, all right? It's just not, usually there's something else going on. Maybe they're shy and they have a hard time making friends. You know what, find out the real reason and come to us and we will help them to, you know, be comfortable and feel comfortable. But don't believe them. In fact, my younger son went through a phase where he was like, I don't want to, this is up in kids' church. He goes, I don't want to go to kids' church. It's boring. I'm like, you're going and have fun for the next hour and a half being bored. And he would come out and he'd be like, oh, that was so much fun. But he just never wanted to go in because he's just being a stinker. Okay. So please. Okay. And the last thing that I want to talk about with this, please, please, I beg of you, please don't ground your kids from church. Please. This happens all the time. I mean, even to elementary kids, and then our JV kids and our varsity kids will contact them or we'll see them and say, hey, we haven't seen you in a while. What's going on? Oh, my parents grounded me from church. They said I wasn't allowed to go to youth group for a month. Okay, did y'all hear how stupid that sounds? I'm sorry. Okay, listen. Okay, first of all, the first thing that runs through my mind, just, you want to know the mind of Denise, the first thing that runs through my mind is like, that's really sad. You know what basically you're telling your kid? Hey, you're not good enough to go to church. You have to be perfect in order for God to love you and you to go to church, and you're falling short of that mark right now. So you know what? You can't go to church and you can't go to youth group because you're not being good enough. I'm sure glad God doesn't feel that way. We'd all be in a mess. So that's the first message that it sends, and I don't think you want that to be your teachable moment. I know it's a little harsh, but it's the truth, and I'm not taking it back. So, okay, the second thing is, if they are having issues and they're in trouble, they need to be in church, all right? See, we have this thing called small groups that we do in elementary all the way through high school. And our students and our kids each week are with the same small group leader, and they talk about the lesson and they get to know them. And especially on like the middle school and high school level, man, it's like they're a mentor. Because I'm telling you, parents, we need other godly Christian people in our kids and teens' life to be mentors to them. We can't be all and do all. Especially when they get to be about 15 or 16 and parents are no longer cool and they're not listening to anything we say, because obviously parents are dumb, okay? But their small group leader is amazing and so wise, even though they say the same thing, okay? But, you know, bring them to church so they can develop that relationship with their small group leader. You know, one quick story, a few years back, we had a really troubled teen in our youth group, and the parents had been, you know, struggling. This kid was addicted to drugs and alcohol and all kinds of things, and the kid ran away. I mean, like scary ran away, like just off the face of the earth, couldn't find him for like hours and hours and hours, and, you know, they were like about to call the police, and then they called the church. They thought, we're just going to call the church, and so they contacted us. I contacted that boy's small group leader. Guess who that boy had called? His small group leader, and said, man, I ran away from home. And that small group leader knew exactly where he was, and we were able to get the parents connected with the kid. He was able to get help, okay? Because the parent brought him to church and they were able to connect. All right, so please, please bring your kids to church. Even if they're grounded, say grounded from everything else, but you can go to youth group, okay? All right. So anyways, you know, these are ways that we can have a really awesome year with our kids by looking for those teachable moments. But I wanna tell you one thing, okay? And this is something that elementary kids tell me, middle school kids tell me, high school kids tell me. All right, and it's their biggest complaint about parents. Do you want to know what it is? They tell us all the time, man, I really want to talk to my mom and dad, but they're there, but they're never really there because they're always on their phone. I'm trying to talk to them and they're on Facebook. That's why teenagers aren't on Facebook, okay? Because their parents are. But that's what they say to us. They say, I want to talk to my mom and dad, but they're always there. They're there, but they're not there. And do you know there's actually a new phenomenon in the counseling psychology world called disconnected parenting? They're writing articles on it, and it's basically parents that are so much on their devices that they're there with their kids, but they're so disconnected that it's causing all types of family problems. From the kids' and teenagers' perspective, that's their biggest complaint about us parents. We're disconnected. We're on our phone too much. So, I don't know, maybe it would help to have a better year if, when, you know, you're together with your family, if you simply put this away and said, I'm going to be with you. Because I don't want to miss those teachable moments. I want to be what Deuteronomy 11, 18 says. I want to have those teachable moments. I want to teach you every minute because time is short. Time is so short with the influence that you have on your kids, and you don't want to miss those teachable moments. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you that your word is true, Lord. Even sometimes when it's hard to hear, it's still true. And Lord, right now, I just ask for all of us, Father, you know, even for me as a parent, I know that I could do a better job. I know that I could Deuteronomy 11 so much better than I have been. And Lord, just right now there, if you're a parent out there and, you know, you've been a little disconnected. You haven't been looking for those teachable moments. You haven't been Deuteronomy 11-ing it like you should. Just go ahead and just make that commitment for this school year. Just let it be a parental commitment that you're going to have a good school year with your kiddos and that that you're going to look for those teachable moments and that you're going to do a better job. Lord, just help us. Just help us. Forgive us, God. We don't mean to do it. We just get busy. Father, just help us to be more connected. Help us to look for those teachable moments, Father. Help each and every one of us to know what to say it, when to talk, when to be quiet. And Lord, help us to respond with the word of God, with the love of God, not react, not with what our flesh wants, but Lord, respond to our kids the way that you would respond to us. Father, just help us in that. Help us, Father, see our hearts are for you. And we want to raise our children and we want our children to flourish. We just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank y'all so much. We need to do a quick offering really quick for Pastor. So ushers, if you'll get in the aisle for Pastor Hagen's birthday, we just want to bless him big time. I know I'm a little biased, but I really do believe he is the best pastor in the whole wide world. I just love him and respect him so much. And I don't believe that there's a better pastor in the world. So if you want to give in that offering towards his birthday, those buckets are coming down the aisle. So go ahead and do that. Thank y'all tonight. I am so sorry I took up 10 minutes of your time. I'll tell Pastor that he needs to give you back 10 minutes next week. Okay, I am so sorry. I knew this was going to happen, but I just really felt it on my heart that I just needed to get that out there, and I believe that it blessed some of you and helped some of you. I am going to leave some of these books up here, just kind of around here. So if you wanted to write down some of the names of these books, these are great resources. There's also the prayer team right up here. If you need prayer for anything, salvation, rededication, Holy Spirit, healing, or maybe you just want somebody to agree with you in prayer, the men are here and the ladies are here. So go up and find them after, and they'd be happy to pray with you. I need to waste more time. What else can I talk about? don't forget the all the announcements, the bulletin. If you lose your paper bulletin, you can go on the Rhema USA app, and the bulletin is always there for you to read. And we will see you on Sunday morning. We love you guys so much, and thank you for indulging me those 10 extra minutes. God bless you, and we will see you on Sunday morning.